の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩つまずく。This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all over the world gather together and catch up on the team that is beating cancer one patient at a time. Yeah, boy, you go, Gucci. We're going to talk more about Haraguchi in a bit, but first, let's talk about us. I'm your host, T-Ray, and today is June the 5th, 2019. This is episode Wayne Gretzky 99, also known as Keisuke Kano, and with me in the old capital, JD, how you doing, buddy?
Hanging in there, man. It's starting to heat up. It looks like rainy season is about to start, which is one of my least favorite times of the year, especially because Koshien does not have a roof on it, which means the chances of getting rained out when you go down to see a game are really high. But aside from that, things are doing good. How are you doing down there?
Yeah, I'm doing quite well. Speaking of rainouts, though, it's been interesting that we've only had one so far this year, and I think last year we were up to like five or six at this point. So
yeah.
It's kind of encouraging, at least, that the pre-rainy season wasn't rainy, but it could come with a vengeance. You never know. And like you said, when you buy tickets for June games, you're kind of rolling the dice right when you plunk down your money. But I mean, I guess the good thing is that you can get your money back if the game gets called. So let's see how it goes, though. We are already into Interleague, everybody. We just played the first game last night, and we've got 17 to go. Let's see how the Tigers do. And actually, in today's show, we are going to talk Interleague. We're going to talk Pacific League specifically, and how can these Tigers put together a winning record against the stronger league. So, we'll be back in just a little bit with some rumors and news for you after this.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
So, of course, the biggest news and the most exciting news and the most tear-jerking news, JD, happened last night. Well, actually, I mean, you know, there was this kind of this buzz leading up to Interleague going, I wonder if, is Haraguchi going to get called up? And then I think it was in Sunday's farm game that he hit a home run. He hit a three-run home run, it was a home run anyways. Yeah, I mean, that kind of set people off, like, maybe he's ready. And he'd only been batting like 190 down on the farm. But sure enough, on Monday, June the 3rd, Haraguchi gets called up to the top squad. And, you know, everybody's starting to get excited, wondering, are we going to use Haraguchi as DH or not? And then yesterday happened. The game happened. And we won't talk about the results yet because that's for another corner. But Haraguchi got into the game and he did it, man. Well, you saw it, I'm sure.
It was pretty amazing to see. I mean, 4 months, man. It was 4 months ago that he got the diagnosis. So to be diagnosed, to undergo surgery, to go through the rehab, and to make it back in that short amount of time, it's just amazing. And my wife's actually a nurse, and we were talking about it, and she's like, "Yeah, sports players, they just have different bodies entirely." But either way, it's just amazing to see him back. Definitely. I have to admit, I teared up a little bit when he was in the batter's box there, seeing all the people in the stands cheering him on. So he's back, and hopefully back and contributing for a long time in the future now. So yeah, welcome back, Haraguchi.
Absolutely, yeah. So I actually didn't see the game live, so I only saw the replays and stuff, but I teared up even just watching the replays. But, you know, you even think about his cheer song and you think about his past, and I mean, it's just, how can you not be overcome with emotion? I mean, this is a guy that got drafted and then he got dropped down to development player status because he had so many injuries and he was thinking about giving up. And there were times where he could have been cut. And he just kept fighting, kept working, you know, kept trying to develop himself as a player. He got back to being double digit. He was excellent. Then he went into 2017, had a rough season. And, you know, 2018, he found himself having a great season as a pinch hitter. But, you know, like his song, you know, Koko ni tatsu tame ni kitae nuita hibi yo. Like, all the days of building up my body to stand here is kind of what the words are. And it's just like, how much more true could that be on this day or on that day, on yesterday, you know, like that's just amazing. And so, yeah, I mean, as I was kind of humming the song and singing it, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, it couldn't be more true and it couldn't be happier for the guy. So yeah, as you said, hopefully he has got a long career ahead of him still just 27 years old. So, you know, he's definitely, hopefully his best days, his best years are ahead of him. And I love how positive he's stayed through the whole thing as well. You know, just continuing to bust his butt and putting up messages on Twitter every now and then. And, you know, even in his post-game interviews and stuff, he said, and even the pre-game one as well, you know, he's like, I've been supported by the fans so much. It's because of them that I was able to come back so fast. And I've got nothing but thanks for them and for the coaching staff and my teammates. And so, you know, just a gracious guy. Yeah. All right, so speaking of other injuries and ailments, we've actually got guys going the other way, and that would be one Kosuke Fukudome, who injured his calf muscle. And they said it was a mild tear or a mild sprain or something.
Yeah.
So he's actually down in Naruohama, and he's already working out, which is good. I don't know that he's going to be in games on the farm.
They're saying that he's doing just a separate sort of training regimen, doing like walking and stuff, just getting his leg back up to speed here. So he's not actually playing in games yet, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything super serious, so he shouldn't be out for too long. I mean, at least as far as the last information that I read about it was.
I'd be surprised, you know, as the veteran that he is, especially if he's only out for like 10 days, the minimum, I'd be surprised if he plays any farm games. Like, I could just see him just coming back
zip
up
right back
and
up, yeah.
yeah so we'll see how that goes, but in the meantime, I mean, we've talked about this on other shows, you know, there's other guys that we're hoping are going to be able to fill the void when Fukudome eventually hangs them up. And while this is kind of a preview of that, at least for 10 days, how can our young guys do when they get regular playing time in the field? Unfortunately, they haven't necessarily earned it, but they're getting it by default. But yeah, we shall indeed see how they do. Actually, one guy, and we'll talk about him during the recaps for sure, has kind of earned his way into some more playing time.
Yep.
So, one more, or a couple more, injury or ailment notes. And those will be our two guys that went down. Man, it's been a month since they went down with the flu and high fever. And that would be Yuta Iwasada, left-handed starter, and Suguru Iwazaki, left-handed reliever. Both of them are, I think, pitching on the farm, but they're still not ready to come up to the top squad. And that's just kind of interesting. I never would have thought that a fever would keep guys out that long. And especially, it seems like baseball players, sometimes they even play through stuff like that. But it must have been pretty serious.
Yeah, well, it seems like Iwasada, too, they said he had some sort of setback as well. I can't remember if it was he tweaked something, too, or if it was still just sort of a remnant from the fever that he had. But yeah, so he was on a certain schedule and then had a little setback, so he got pushed back a little bit. But hopefully we'll see him back up again soon.
Well, I mean, let's see if there's room for him in the rotation as well, because we've got six guys rolling, and they've all been doing fairly well. I mean, nobody has really been pitching, you know, in a way that they should be sent down to the farm. So it might be tough for him to break back in, you know. What are you going to say? Oh, sorry, Haruto, I know you've been pitching lights out, but Iwasada was the guy before you. No, right? You can't do that. So we'll see. Iwazaki, definitely, I think we could use in the bullpen, just because we do have, I think we've always got at least one guy in there that is, he's primed and ready to be beat up by the other team. And if we could have zero guys in our bullpen like that, that would be aces. One more pitchers news is, of course, our boy that we never stop talking about, at least on every show. We're like Japanese Baseball Weekly talking about Otani every week, but we talk about Fujinami every week. So anyways, he pitched on the farm again. I think last time that we talked, he had pitched one inning. This time now he went three innings, and I believe he allowed zero hits or one hit.
Zero hits,
one walk. That was what it was. Yeah. So pretty good job from him. He's got a new windup, and it looks like he is also getting himself ready to someday be called up to the top squad. And again, who knows when or how that is going to happen, just because he also has to break in. They're not just going to give him a spot freely. So I don't know, man. It sounds like we've got a pretty good situation going with all of these pitchers that are potentially, you know, ready to get back into the rotation. We didn't even talk about Takumi Akiyama, who's been doing excellently down on the farm as well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's funny, too. I mean, the news and rumors, there's nothing really earth-shattering there, but that's actually a good thing, you know, when you think about it, because it means that our team, everybody is relatively healthy. Things are rolling along well, and there's no serious setbacks or anything like that. So I'm kind of happy with it, actually, to have a really calm sort of news day here.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's one more, but we will get into that when we talk recap, because there's another pitcher that made his way up and has been so far so good. So yeah, we'll talk about him in just a little bit. Let's get into some recaps of the past fortnight, which actually went almost exactly as Sanjay said it was going to go down. So, JD, you were not with us for 98 for the Dolis episode, but Sanjay had said we were going to take the rest of the Swallows series, win 2 of 3 against the Bay Stars, win 2 of 3 against the Giants, and 1 of 3 against the Carp before losing game one to the Marines.
Man, talk about nailing it. He had it down exactly, yeah.
He was a rainout and a Marines win, I guess a Tigers win away from being perfect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whatever crystal ball you had there, Sanjay, bring it back. Bring it back. That's good. Well, okay, so that's the recaps then. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, let's talk a little bit of detail about what went down. So Wednesday night, which was the day of our last recording, we beat the Swallows 3-2. I think we were down 2-1. And in the seventh inning, we got a couple of RBI hits back-to-back from Itoi and Oyama. It was 1-1, and that put us ahead. And then they got one more in the ninth inning. But we won that one 3-2. So that was game two of that series. And then game three of the series on Thursday night was a little bit more of a nail biter. We had Haruto Takahashi on the mound, and they had Dave Buchanan on the mound. And both pitchers were outstanding. I mean, there weren't very many hits, particularly for the Swallows. They had 5 hits all night. And it came down to the ninth inning and their relievers. And by the way, if you haven't been following other teams in the CL, JD, how have the Swallows been lately?
Oh my word, man! I mean, you really have to feel bad for them, man. I think what was they ran their losing streak to, I believe it was 16.
That's exactly right.
At one point, I mean, they went from literally, I mean, think about where they started the season off at and where they are now. I mean, they're in last place now, and they started off like at the top. They looked solid as they were last year at the beginning, and now they're just in the basement.
They were 5 games over 500, or maybe even more, like in April, and now they're, I think, 11 under 500.
Craziness, man. I mean, you just sort of wonder what goes into contributing to that kind of a losing streak. But hey, you know, if it benefits us, I'm not going to complain too much. You have my condolences, Swallows fans, but that's about as far as I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, just a side note on that, they tie the Central League record for longest losing streak, which also belonged to the Yakult Swallows. So now they're 2-time 16-game losers. The NPB record, just for the record, is 18, and that was set by the Marines. I think they were already the Chiba Latte Marines. I think it was 1998 where they lost 18 straight. So I was kind of, dare I say, I was rooting for the Swallows to break that record. Sorry, Swallows fans, but I have no love for that team. Anyhow, so this back to this game. 8 innings of pure donuts or pure bagels or takoyakis, whatever you want to call it. Bottom of the ninth, we get ourselves into a great situation with the bases loaded and one out and Itohara up at the dish. And he hits one to left field, to right field. He lines one to right field, brings home the game-winning run, and the walk-off win is ours. Interestingly, just want to talk about one thing here. And I talked about this on the Patreon bonus podcast, by the way. Sponsor us on Patreon, everyone. So Kai Ueda was on second base, and he did not touch third base on the walk-off hit. So technically, the play was not completed as such, and he could have been called out at third. And so if it had been two outs in that situation and he had not touched third, that there would have been a case for that being out number three and a 0-0 going into extra innings. And so Fukudome, who was still on the top squad and not injured yet at this time, even in the midst of the celebration, and I'm just reading this, I didn't actually see it, but he was chewing out Ueda and telling him the rules, like schooling this kid on, you know, the baseball rules and saying, hey, dude, you can't mess this up. You can't do that. And, you know, like, obviously one of the reasons is because, as I said, if that had been two outs, then that's disaster, man. I mean, your team puts together a dramatic win and you blow it by not, you know, running all the way to third. Incidentally, if that had been a walk and it had been a walk-off walk, there's no obligation for the other runners to touch their next base. It's only if they hit because the ball is in play. It's a live play where theoretically a third out could be recorded. And since it would be a force play third out, then it wouldn't matter if the guy crossed home plate first. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't even notice that in the celebration, you know, that Ueda messed that up. So, good thing that we still got the win, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, three straight against the Swallows. And this is a team that beat us 10 straight to end last season. So I think, beating them down is quite a good thing. But we haven't had any real blowout wins against them. Like, even this series was 3-2, 3-2, 1-0. So three straight one-run games. And even at the start of the season, if you remember, we started 2-1 and 1-0, I think, in the first two games. And so, surprisingly, you know, a team with such as good of bats as the Swallows have been pretty silent against us.
Yeah.
So let's continue on. We go out to our favorite ballpark in the land, which is Yokohama Stadium, for a three-game series. And game one, we take 3-2. So we get another one-run win. Our boy Nishi gave up a two-run home run in the bottom of the first, but after that it was all Tigers. We got a run in the fourth, a run in the sixth, and then the game winner in the seventh on a double by Yusuke Oyama, who's really starting to come through in some actual meaningful situations, which is nice to see.
Yeah, like you look at his average with runners in scoring position is really good. He's not really, you know, mashing any major home runs or anything, you know, but he's getting it done when it needs to get done. And I noticed that we can talk about this a little bit later too, but he's, whereas before he would swing at first pitches that maybe weren't good for him to be swinging at and he'd end up grounding out and stuff. Lately, he's been more aggressive, but he's actually getting pitches that he can really do something with, and I've noticed him doing that a lot more too, and it's really making a difference. He's putting pressure on the other team as well. So yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Oyama, and he showed it in this series as well.
Well, there's been an evolution in his game and his approach. I mean, he's still a first pitch swinger, but he's doing a lot better job of choosing when to do it, because I think like other team scouts obviously are you know, they got the book on him, and so we saw it. There was a good stretch where he was swinging at first pitch balls and either whiffing or fouling to first or fouling to catcher, and it was just like, oh, what are you doing, Yusuke? But now he's starting to be a bit more selective about when he swings that first pitch. And I was reading a stat on Twitter, and he's actually on first, this was as of a week ago, but I think he was batting like 600 on first pitch balls put in play. It's pretty sick. So obviously he's figured something out, and it's good to see. All right, so that was game one in that series. Game two was an interesting one, JD, because we went down 6-0. Randy really got squeezed at the plate by the umpire. He actually, in one inning, walked four guys and gave up no runs, which was kind of weird. But he walked, I think, six guys on the night or on the day, which was, you know, just atrocious. Some of them, you know, there were some close calls, but pitchers have got to make adjustments to stuff, and I don't think he was able to do it. And finally, the dam broke in the sixth inning. So 6-0 heading into the ninth inning, and I had turned the game off. I was, you know, I'd rather play with my kids than sit in front of a TV and cuss.
Oh, ye of little faith.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, me of little faith. So quick breakdown to the ninth inning. Chikamoto hit. Ito had a double. Ito a three-run home run. Oh, it's 6-3. Oyama with a hit. Fukudome strikes out. And then Umeno with a hit. And then Nakatani with an out. Kinami gets a two RBI single, and so now we've got 6-5 game, tying run on first base, winning run at the plate. Everybody's Hiroda Toritani Takashi grounds out to second. No, he flied out to left. Sorry, he usually grounds out to second, but that was it. Game over. So we lost 6-5. You know, very unfortunate to lose such a game that we really had a chance to pull out of a hat. You know, but just couldn't get her done, so we lost that one 6-5, and we will talk a little bit more about that one later in the show, won't we?
Yes, we will.
So, you know, the worry is that in Yokohama, we don't want to lose a series. I mean, this is our home turf. So we go in Sunday, and we bring back Onelki Garcia, who is coming back from a fairly long stint on the farm. And if you remember, he went three innings, seven runs, one and a third, I think, innings, seven runs in his first three starts. So you can understand if people were feeling a bit nervous about how he would do in this one. Yeah, you can put those nerves on ice, because he was, you know, he had ice blood running through his veins. Complete game shutout for Mr. Garcia. Thank you. We got four home runs from our boys. Thank you. And a nice, big, juicy 7-0 win. So there's another magic seven for Garcia, who wears number 77.
Man, I mean, talk about a comeback. You can't, there's literally no way. I mean, aside from throwing a no-hitter, you can't make a better comeback than that. So I'm hoping that this bodes well for his future. But yeah, it was kind of funny to see the seven up there on the board after he gave up the seven runs in each of his three first starts. But welcome back, Garcia. We missed you, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. So that's the guy that we signed in the offseason. It certainly wasn't the guy that was falling apart with a... I think his ERA was 19.29, and then he brought it down to 9.82. So he cut it in half with that one outing. And as we'll see later, it dropped down a little bit more, but it's still sitting around 8. But, you know, it's gonna drop at a slower pace, obviously, but hopefully it will continue to get down into the 4s and 3s eventually. And, you know, it'll be nice to see. Anyhow, let's jump into last week's action. Tuesday, we had our first rainout of the season. That was against the Giants at Koshien. We had lost our first 6 to the Giants on the season, and then we went into Tokyo Dome and blasted them for 2 straight. And so we're hoping to keep the momentum going. T-Ray got invited to the Wednesday game. And I use that in the third person because this is something to boast about. Just being in attendance is enough of a bragging rights now in Kansai. Because what a game. What a game that was, man. So it was Aoyagi on the mound for us. And he actually gave up a home run to Maru in the first inning. And then he gave up another home run to Sakamoto in the third inning. And then a couple of doubles in the fourth inning. So it was 3-0, and Aoyagi was not looking like his usual self at all. Fortunately, in the fifth, Uemoto came in and gave us 2 runs on a single to shallow center. I think he turned it into a double. He stretched it. Yeah. Nice stuff from him. So it's 3-2. It's looking like we might be able to make something of it, but everything is silent until the eighth when Maru hits a home run for them. It's 4-2. My hopes were crushed, but Marty McFly said, "Make like a tree and get out of here." And he put one into the left field stands in the bottom of the eighth to tie it 4-4.
Well, I don't know if you noticed when you were watching from the field, but did you see that one was like, it was going foul and somehow kind of curved back in, it seemed, to just wrap itself around the foul pole there, which is, when he first hit it, I was like, oh man, no, that's a foul. But somehow it made it back in. So that was great to see. Yeah.
I didn't, but I did notice, and so did the guy I was with, that he didn't really barrel it. And so we kind of knew that it wasn't going to have a typical orbit that these path like these, balls tend to have. So yeah, we kind of noticed something strange about it, but we didn't see it from our angle. We were on the third base side, so we didn't actually get to see that one cleanly. But we did get to see the important home run, the more important home run, cleanly. And that comes after a frustrating 11th inning where the Tigers loaded the bases with no outs and pushed nobody across the plate. Man, and I thought for sure, like, I don't know if you guys know this, but I live further away from Koshien than I used to, and I was a bit worried because I got to catch a bus now to get home. And I was like, man, this game is dragging on. I don't know if I'm going to be able to catch a bus. I might not be able to make it home. And so I was really hoping they would end it, but I'm glad that they didn't, because the 12th inning brought even better dramatics. With one out and the bases juiced, Shun Takayama on a 2-0 pitch absolutely hammered the ball to the right field, into the right field stands for a grand slam home run, a walk-off grand slam home run. 8-4, Tigers win. Man, what a game.
I couldn't even, like, I was watching on TV, but I couldn't even really celebrate, because when he hit the home run, it was so high and so huge. I couldn't tell if it was foul or fair as I'm watching. And the announcers didn't seem to really know what it was either. And then before I knew it, he was like, everybody was celebrating. He was like, wait a minute, what? Really? Oh, okay. So yeah, it almost took me by surprise at that point, but I'm sure it was a little bit different for you in the stands there.
Yeah, well, you should have been following me on Facebook Live, because I actually caught that one on video. I recorded it as it happened. It was pretty sweet stuff. Anyhow, we'll put that celebration behind us, just like the Tigers did. But the very next day, going up against Taylor Youngman, I think his first name's Taylor, it was Haruto Takahashi on the mound for us. And we get a 3-run home run from Oyama in the bottom of the first. They get a 2-run home run back in the second, but that's all they got. And then we pushed a couple more runs across in the mid innings, and then one again in the seventh inning. So 5-2 win for us. It looks like this one wasn't sold out. The attendance shows 39,000 plus, which for Koshien and for a Giants game is kind of disappointing, but the result is definitely not. So now we're up to 4 straight wins against the Giants. And we take that one 2-0. So again, Sanjay was just a rain out away from being right there. Unfortunately, we head to Hiroshima and the red hot carp, you know, as cold as the swallows were, the carp were just almost equally that hot. They had won 11 straight, and then I think they lost one maybe the day before we faced them, or maybe a couple days before. No, they didn't, because they'd swept the swallows. Never mind. But anyways, they had lost one, and then they were back on like a three or four game win streak when they faced us. And they beat us 2-1 on Friday. It was 1-0 for a long time. Umino tied it in the top of the ninth, pardon me. And then they walked it off in the bottom of the 11th against Nomi. Kind of a bummer of a game, because it looked like, at the very least, I was hoping, like, okay, if we could even tie this one, that's a moral victory to tie it up in the ninth and then to hold on. But yeah. Nomi wasn't able to get that done, so kind of unfortunate.
No, I kind of figured, I just had a feeling when Nomi came in that was going to be it. He just hasn't been as sharp this year as he was last year. But at the same time, I can't really complain about this one. I think it was really well pitched on both sides.
Yep.
I won't really bellyache about too much in this one, because everybody I thought played pretty well. So yeah, you just kind of shrug it off and hope you can do better the next day, which unfortunately...
didn't. Yeah. Anyways, props to Nishi for a good start, and then Iwata was our starter on Saturday, but he kind of got battered up pretty bad, at least in the mid innings. In the bottom of the fifth, he gave up a couple of runs, including an RBI single to their pitcher Chris Johnson, and then he gave up a home run in the bottom of the sixth, and another hit, sack fly, and then I think he got pulled, so he gave up 4 runs on 5 2/3 or something like that. Anyways, and then it just kept getting worse. They got 3 more runs in the seventh inning, and we only managed a solo home run at the end of the game as part of our comeback. 7-2 is the final in this one. The home run, by the way, was by Kenya Nagasaka, who is our backup catcher for now, although how much playing time do they get? That was his first at-bat of the year, so right now his OPS is 5,000, which is the best that you can have. So, yeah, nobody's going to beat that, and he can sit at the top of those standings. But not much else to say about that one, at least for the time being. Let's move into Sunday, where we get Garcia back on the mound, and things were actually looking quite excellent, because in the second inning, our guys exploded for 7 runs, only one of them a home run. That was Umino's leadoff home run in the second inning. And then after that, it was just a barrage of hits. I think it was something like 9 hits in the inning or something like that. 8 or 9 hits. I think 8 hits and a walk in the inning. So 7-0. But in the bottom of the sixth, we kind of got, we got put into a real scare, didn't we?
Well, it's funny, because I was right on the train coming back from my in-laws' place back down to Kyoto, and there's this really long tunnel. You're in the tunnel for about 10 minutes, I think, along the way. And when I went in, it was still 7-0. When I got out, it was 7-5.
Oh.
And I was like, what the heck happened? And so I had to go back through and sort of look on my phone, like all the stuff that had gone on. But it was like error all over the place. It was like,
yeah.
What is going on here? Yeah, so...
So Garcia was still on the mound for all of that, and he only had 2 of those runs charged to him. But anyways, he ended up getting pulled at the end, and they had the go-ahead run, I believe. Yeah, the go-ahead run was at the dish. That was Seiya Suzuki, of all guys. So it's like, oh man, if they complete this comeback in the sixth inning, it's over. Like, there's no way we're coming back from this. Bring in Koki Moriya, who until this year has been a nobody. And man... I guess you didn't see the pitch, but what a pitch to catch Seiya looking. It's kind of a screwball, or what they call the shuto here, where it looked like it was outside. Like, Moriya is a right-handed pitcher, and Seiya is a right-handed hitter. So it looked like it was outside, and it just scooted in, and it's backdoored, man. The outside corner of the plate, called third strike. That was it. I think that was the game changer. That killed Hiroshima's momentum, and I don't think they got anything after that. So I really think the hero of the game here is Moriya. I think he had 4 pitches, but that was it. I mean, putting out that fire was everything.
Yeah, yeah. And again, but I mean, you know, Garcia too, you got to give him his props. He pitched relatively well again. So again, you hope that this means he's turned the corner from the atrocious start that we had. Although, he hasn't pitched again at Koshien yet, so we'll sort of see how he can handle himself on the home mound before I want to, you know, give him too many accolades here, but yeah.
Yeah, true. And so since he's pitching on Sundays, or at least for now he is, it looks like he'll be facing the Fighters later this week, and we will talk about that as we preview the Pacific and as we do our predictions anyways. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he does there. So we lose 2 out of 3 in Hiroshima, which is more or less expected, right, Sanjay? You called it, and actually that was probably about what I was expecting as well. That brings us into Interleague, sitting in second place, just a half game up on the Giants. But again, the standings kind of don't matter. To me, the more important number is that we're 5 games above 500 heading into Interleague, which, you know what? That's only 3 games better than last year, man. Last year, we were 2 games above heading in. But I certainly feel like we went in feeling a lot more confident as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Although last year, we swept the Giants 3 straight heading into Interleague. So it's hard to feel more confident than that. Anyways, we go out to Zozo Marine Park in Chiba to face the Lotte Marines, who are a young and upcoming team. And we'll talk more about them in detail later, but they had Hideaki Wakui on the mound, and we had
Randy Messenger.
Yes. Randy Messenger had been held off out of the rotation for a while, partly to give him more rest because his previous outing against the Bay Stars, I think he threw 135 pitches or something.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bode so well, at least, you know, like we were up 3-0 heading into the bottom of the second inning, and he walked 3 guys during that inning and ended up giving up 3 runs. There was a sac fly that was almost a home run, and then an RBI single to left field. I didn't get to watch the game. I don't know if you did, but I talked to a guy who was at the game, and granted, he was in the Oendon for the Marines, Steve, I believe. Anyways, cool guy on Twitter. And I said, hey, do you think Randy was being squeezed or do you think his control was off? And he said, well, it was hard to see from where I was, but I felt like it was more of the latter. Like his control was kind of off. So
he definitely wasn't being squeezed as much this time. I think he was looking for a lot of pitches on the outside corner that were just a little bit too far outside, I thought. And that was kind of the problem in Yokohama. I think although he was getting squeezed there a lot, I think he was shooting for those outside corner kind of low and outside pitches, and they just weren't getting called. But yeah, last night, I mean, you definitely saw when he was playing too that he wasn't, you know, getting mad at the ump. He was mad at himself at the end of the second inning, you know, for giving up those runs. And but you know, he after that he buckled down and pitched pretty well following that second inning. So yeah
and the bats came through. I think it was the top of the sixth that Umino hit the home run, or was it the fifth?
The fifth.
Solo home run from Umino. So that gives us a 4-3. And then at the end of the game, we just poured it on multiple home runs. Guys by the name of Yoshio Itoi and Jeffrey Marte hit home runs. And then we just continued to get hit after hit. And our guy, Haraguchi, comes in. The team is a 4-run lead at this point, mind you, but he comes in as a pinch hitter for Nakatani, who was awful on this day. He hits a double, which was actually not too far off from being a home run.
No, it wasn't. When it came off the bat, I thought I had a chance, actually, but
yeah. And I mean, it didn't even look like he swung full. Like, I mean, it looked like, you know, it was just his natural swing, but he got all of it. And he slid into second base head first. And it was an RBI, and then he got pulled for a pinch runner. But he was one of the co-heroes of the day, understandably. You know, just Haraguchi being Haraguchi and coming back is heroic.
Oh, you gotta give it to him, yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, just absolute money right there. That's what a way to cap off the fortnight for us by being able to talk about Haraguchi's comeback and a big 11-3 win for our Hanshin Tigers. So for Randy, that's win number 98 in his career in NPB. And looks like he'll be getting win number 100 sometime this season. Certainly hope so. Yeah. And as you said, it was really just the one bad inning. The rest of it, he looked pretty good. But that was also kind of the case in Yokohama, he had the one terrible inning. But he's had that happen, especially early in games where he just kind of gets himself in a lot of jams. And I don't know what needs to change. I mean, if I knew, I'd be a coach or I would have been a player. So, yeah, I'll spare you from my amateur advice for Messenger.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. Sanjay, you were pretty much on the money, as we said earlier in the recap. And just to let you all know, we went 8-3 during this 11 games. How you like them apples?
That's unreal. And I mean, yeah. The two of those losses, too, are against the Carp, which considering how hot they were, you figure that would probably happen The wins against the Giants are great to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, man, no complaints there whatsoever. I'm loving it.
Well, two of the losses, pardon me, were one-run affairs as well, right? So that's pretty good. I mean, one of them showed the ability to almost come back from, you know, 6-0 in the last inning. And then the other one, we came back from 1-0 in the last inning. So guys showing fight, this team showing fight that I didn't see last year.
Yeah, we're not getting blown out, like, at all, really. So which speaks a lot to the pitching that we've got. So yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see us win those close games as opposed to lose them, obviously. But mm-hmm. yeah, again, I mean, you can't really have too many complaints about how the team's playing right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so it's exciting to see, and it's going to be fun to see how they handle the interleague facing the supposedly superior Pacific League. And we'll talk about that in the hot topics. But right now, something that we haven't done since episode 97, we're looking at Player of the Month.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the wall. You are the Player of the Month. The man, the myth, the tiger, your Player of the Month.
So the month of May came and went, and the team went 15 wins, 9 losses, and 1 tie. A very good month, our first winning month since sometime in the 2017 season. We didn't have a single winning month all of last year. So, the bats, I think, kind of cooled off. I think the pitching is really what carried the team more than the bats during the month of May. But have you got anyone in particular that you would say was your hitter of the month?
Man, you know, yeah, maybe less than the bats being really cooled off significantly, it doesn't seem like anybody stood out that much more than other people. Everybody's contributing pretty well, I thought. So all around, I think the team is just getting it done, grinding it out. If I had to pick one guy, I'd probably go with Oyama. I think he just stands out a little bit more than the rest. On the month of May, he batted .290, 3 home runs, 17 RBIs. And like we talked about before, maybe it's a little kind of getting into the intangibles there, but he seems to be a little more clutch now. Like, he's getting hits when there's runners in scoring position. He did that last night again as well. So overall, I just think that he's probably the guy who is showing us more of what I guess we wanted to see from him, which we didn't have a lot of last year, you know, that sort of clutch hitting. And I mean, obviously, as our number four guy, I'd love to see a little more power. When you look at some of the number four hitters that other teams have, you see, you know, double digit home runs and stuff already, which we don't have with him yet. But at the same time, you know, considering where he was just 1 year ago, I'm happy. I'll take it. And I think that overall, he's probably been the guy who's contributed most this for the month of May. Yeah,
that's a fair assessment. And I definitely see a different level of comfort in his approach at the plate than what we saw at the start of the year, where he almost looked like
he looks confident, right?
Yeah. Now I think he's grown into the role, which, you know, even at the start of the season, I'd kind of said this is a kid that we might need to be patient with. And I said I was willing to wait until August or September for him to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then I complained through April. And so it's hard. It's easy to say and hard to actually do as a fan. But you're right. And it's been good to see him do that. I'm going to pick somebody else, though. And I would say that the big difference between April and May as far as success at the plate goes to Jeffrey Marte, comparing him to what Navarro was for us in April. I don't have all of Navarro's numbers in front of me, but the two big ones are a .209 average with 0 home runs, and compare that to Marte, who just kept heating up as the month went on. Ended up still only batting .257, but, you know, if he bats .260 on the year, I'm happy with that. His 5 home runs and 13 RBI, if you stretch that out over a full season, you know, 5 home runs a month would put him around 30. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and he got one last night, so he's up to 6 now. But if he goes at a 5 home run per month pace, I would be very happy.
That's better than anyone we've had in recent memory, right? I mean,
since Gomez, yeah, for sure. So definitely, I choose him simply because, like you said, nobody really stood out. Mm-hmm. And if I had to determine one guy that made a difference compared to last month, it would be the changing from Navarro to Marte. Sorry, Efren, but Marte's the guy. So
no, that's a good choice. That was my second choice. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, fair enough. You know, plus he's got the cool nickname in Marte McFly, and so and the home run call. You know, you can just say "make like a tree" and get out of here, and so it's all there. I mean, if I wanted to be the play-by-play guy, that would be it. That would be my trademark right there. So. Yeah, well, you know, he's already second in the team in home runs. And like I said, he did not play for all of April. So that's also impressive.
And props to Yano for just, you know, toughing it out. You know, Marte did look pretty rough for a little while there. But Yano has done something that we haven't seen a lot of Tigers managers, or I guess one particular Tigers manager, do a lot recently, you know. And I think it's showing, you know, and we might, you know, I don't want to talk it up too much, but we might have another sort of Laird type situation on our hands if we can have that sort of patience and just let the guy develop and do his own thing. So we'll see what happens, but yeah, I'm liking it.
All right, how about for pitcher? Do you mind if I go first?
No, go for it.
Okay, well, I mean, it's really, again, it's a tough call, but again, I'm gonna have to go with PJ. And I think, maybe, did you go with him for April?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so I went for John. Yeah.
So, actually, he gave up his first runs of the season in May, but of course, that was bound to happen. The nice thing that we see in him in May that is, I don't know about favorable compared to April, but he threw in 15 games. So, 15 out of 25 is a ridiculous pace. 11 holds during the month. 19 strikeouts on 14 innings pitched. So, again, his strikeouts per nine is the same as it was in April. 12.21. It was 12.19 last month, so... just really good stuff. And like you've said, and like everybody else has been saying, you know, since he's joined the team, there's just this calmness when you put him in.
Yeah.
You know, even when he gives up a hit or when he walks a guy, like, man, I love Dolis and I love some of the other guys we've had. Like, even Mateo, I really wanted to support. But man, you knew when they got guys on base, you were like, oh, here we go. But, and even with QG now, like when he's walking guys, he's just like, oh my gosh, you know, thanks for giving me another ulcer. But with PJ, I feel like there's none of that. I've just got the serenity about me, man, when he's on the mound.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good stuff. So he's my pitcher of the month. How about you?
Yeah, no, I was going to go with him as well. But I guess, yeah, so since you chose him, I'm gonna go a little bit against the grain here. I'm going to go with Fujikawa for my second place. And I know...
Okay.
Now, some people might be like, wait, what? Because when you've watched him pitched over the past month, there have been some times where you're like, what's going on here? You know, are we going to make it through this? But to his credit, somehow he always manages to make it through. He always manages to get it done. It might not be pretty, but he's got it. He takes care of business when he's in there. To the tune of he's gave up no runs for the month of May. He's had 11 appearances. So, I mean, if I'm going to have somebody in second place behind Johnson, I guess I'd go with QG just for the fact that he's getting it done. Keeping the team in the game, even though it might not be really pretty. He's doing his job.
Yeah, man, nerves of steel from that guy, because he walked 14 in those 11 innings pitched. I mean, pretty much every outing he walked at least one guy, if not two. But he also struck out at least one guy, if not two. And so it kind of balanced out. But certainly, yeah, like, I mean, this is a veteran with poise that even when he gets himself into jams, he also gets himself out. And I think that, you know, he's really gotten comfortable with Umeno, and he's really gotten comfortable, just he knows that he's still got it with his fastball, which is kind of hard to believe. You know, people have been talking the last 3 years about, oh, he's not who he was when he was in his prime. But man, his career ERA is sitting around 2, and his ERA this year is 1.5 so far. And I know ERA is not the tail of the tape. Doesn't tell everything, but man, he's still getting it done. So I'm okay with that call. So interestingly, we go with relievers, and nobody went with Yuki Nishi, even though he had a decent month, and Aoyagi had a decent month.
And I'd say Takahashi too, as well. I think
Haruto, you know,
yeah, because he had three starts.
Yep,
2.0 really low ERA. Yeah, so I mean, he didn't really go super deep into games, which is the one thing I'd like to see a little bit more. But again, was it the Giants game? There was one game where he. Where there were a couple errors early on, I think, by Kinami. And he just settled in. He was kind of like, okay, whatever, you know, I got to deal with, and so I'm going to deal with it. He didn't flap him or anything like that. He seems to have calmed down quite a bit, and maybe he's starting to mature a little bit more. So I think he's another possible candidate. Just in terms of, you know, we want to see these young up and coming pitchers, you know, starting to really contribute more, and he's doing that. So good to see. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just on that note, you know, this Tigers team has really leaned hard on its veterans, and we see that with Fukudome and Itoi, and we even see it in, you know, in the bullpen with Fujikawa and Nomi, and, you know, we're seeing it all over the place. And finally, I feel like the young guys are starting to come out and play. And you know, like we see that with Oyama getting a call as player of the month from you. Even Marte is 27 going on 28 next week, I believe, or the week after. So we're seeing these young guys. Umeno is another young guy coming in. Kinami, Chikamoto, all these young guys that are actually playing well. And then, you know, Takayama with a couple of big hits this past fortnight. So he's stepped up his game as well. Maybe rediscovered his rookie season magic. And so it's really good to see that. And I think that is one of the things that makes this team exciting to watch. Because as much as I love Fukudome and some of the other veterans, notice I didn't name anyone else.
Well, they're not the future of the team, right? And now we're looking at the future of the team. And when the future of the team is playing as well as they are, I mean, how can you not get excited about that? Yeah, so.
Definitely. So we look forward to the next call of Players of the Month in our first episode of July. And I hope you do as well. Right now, though, we are introducing a new corner that we have not yet done. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Wait, what did you do? Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano! Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano!
Yes, Mr. Yano, you are a wonderful manager and we love you. And I've been so excited to see your positivity on the bench and your post-game interviews, all of that stuff. Some of the calls that you make in the games cause us to raise our eyebrows. But in the end, you know, you are a very lovable manager. Nevertheless, we're a podcast and we are not paid by the team. Therefore, we don't owe you anything, Hanshin Tigers. And we are going to find things that we don't like about Yano. So, do you want to go first? You can go ahead.
Yeah, sure. We talked about this a little bit earlier. I'm going to talk about the game on the May 25th against the Bay Stars, the one where Randy got squeezed by the ump there, gave up six runs earlier on. And then we came roaring back, you know, in the top of the ninth to the tune of five runs. And at that point, we had, like you said, Kinami had just singled in two runs to bring the score to 6-5. Mm-hmm. And I think Ueda had replaced him on first base. But anyway, Yano made the call to go with Toritani there. And I guess, I'm not going to really knock him that hard on it because I can understand there's more dynamics to it than just the simple, you know, putting the hero in there or whatever. But I just really felt like that was a game that was winnable. And to put Toritani in that sort of high-stakes situation just doesn't sit well with me because, like we've talked about, I mean, don't get me wrong, I always feel like I have to preface any criticism of Toritani with this, but I understand what the guy means to the Tigers team. Yep. You know, I've been following them long enough to respect him immensely for that. But we have to look at the current reality, and the current reality is that he just is completely lost to the plate. He doesn't look like he even wants to be there. It's just really tough to watch. And so when you see him put into a high-stakes situation like that, it really just makes me wonder. And at that point on the bench as well, I think for lefties, we had Takayama available. And for righties, there was Uemoto, Hojo, and Marte were available at that point. Yeah. And so I was thinking at that point, well, it must be just a sort of a lefty-righty thing that Yano's trying to do here because the Bay Stars pitcher Yamazaki, really good, you know, phenomenal closer. I think his ERA is around one right now. You know, he's a righty, and so I guess Yano is probably going with the conventional wisdom of putting a lefty in there. But even in that situation, you figure you've got Takayama as well, who at that point, you know, wasn't batting that much better than Toritani, but still he was. But what's funny is when I went back and looked at Yamazaki's stats, I was kind of surprised because righty batters actually hit him far better than lefties do. To the tune of, I think right now, at that point in time, I think righties were hitting him at like 290 and lefties were hitting him at like 160. So, which I think, you know, Yano had to, you know, has to have that, you know, knowledge somewhere in there.
Of course.
Which makes me wonder, you know, like, why even bother batting a lefty in there at all? You know, like, put in, say, like in that situation, I'd love to see Uemoto in there. You know, someone who's scrappy, who can, you know, probably grind out a good at bat and maybe get to the guy and at least tie the game up. So I was just kind of disappointed in that move right there. I can't really knock him too much, though, because, again, as long as Toditani is on the team, he's on the top squad, Yano's got to figure out somewhere to get him in there, right? And if he holds off really late in games, you know, he's going to end up having to put him in a high-stakes situation at some point. And we saw that actually in the game that you were at against the Giants. He was in a bases loaded situation in the 11th, I believe.
Yep.
And Toditani came in and I think flied out or something.
Struck out swinging.
Yes, or struck out. That's right. Yeah. So Yano is unfortunately in kind of a crappy position in that sense, where he's got to fit him in somewhere, you know, because I think we've, you know, like you and Sanjay talked about, it's not like we're going to farm the guy. So I don't know. I think it's just a really tough situation all around. But anyway, I think, you know, in terms of that particular game, I think just about anybody else in that situation would have been a lot better, I think, and possibly won the game for us. So that's my only gripe with Yano so far.
Man, you went soft because you backpedaled on that a ton.
I did.
But that's
okay.
That's fair enough. I mean, I kind of feel the same way because we're not privy to information like maybe Hojo had the flu or maybe like Marte you know, didn't look good in batting practice or, you know, like all sorts of things. Maybe it's, you know, the type of pitcher that Yamazaki is as compared to the type of hitter that Toritani is. Like, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that we don't look at, and we just look at, you know, Toritani sucks lately and why was he in there? So, yeah. I can see why you'd want to, you know, kind of soften the blow instead of, you know, going for the full on, you know, knockout punch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My Yano is actually not related to a baseball decision, but rather on Saturday in the Hiroshima Carp game that we lost 7-2, in the sixth inning when Iwata got knocked out of the park by Batista, and then he stayed in the game, gave up a couple of hits and a sac fly. There was a guy right behind the third base bench. It was a Tigers fan wearing a Tigers hat, you know, and this is in Hiroshima, so he wasn't up in the visiting. He wasn't up in the visiting visitors section. He was actually right there, and he just started heckling Yano. And apparently, I mean, the papers were saying that he kept saying, like, well, this is your fault that this is happening because you didn't pull Iwata soon enough. And Yano actually got in his face, well, as much as you can from the field, but he actually yelled back at the fan and pointed at him and stuff. And then there were rumors, and I think they were unfounded, that the guy was actually like yelling, not obscenities, but certainly jeering Iwata for the fact that he is he's got diabetes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's true, but I think it was later found that that was untrue. If it was true, and if Yano was you know, chewing him out for that, then this becomes the opposite. It becomes Akihiro, you're my hero, instead of just Yano. But if he was just yelling back at the fan out of stress and because the fan was telling him that it was his fault for this happening, well, that's not cool. I mean, you know, I love Yano as a manager, and even as a person, he seems like a great guy, but you can't, I mean, you just kind of have to, you have to take it. If this happens again, especially in Hiroshima, especially with the same guy, at the very least, you got to like hire Batista from the Carp. That's a big dude, man. Get him to go in there and just, you know, go up to the guy and say, you got a problem? And I swear the guy will poop his pants. So, you know, you got to do something other than yell back at him. So that's my Yano.
Aren't you Tigers English League? 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 Hot topics. Hot topics. Hot topics.
All right. On to the hot topic. And we are already 1/18th of the way into Interleague. But we want to look at the PL, look at our schedule. We're going to mix this in with the predictions as well, I suppose. But we want to do like a quick profile on each team, some of the players that we need to look out for, and how can we possibly finish Interleague with a winning record, and who can we use as our DH? So, real quick overview of the schedule. We play 3 in Chiba against the Marines. We come home for 3 against the Fighters. Then we go on the road for 6 dome games, 3 in Fukuoka against the Hawks, 3 in Osaka against the Buffaloes. So those are essentially home games. And then we go for 6 at Koshien. We've got 3 against the Eagles. Sorry, one of those is in Kurashiki. And then we've got 3 against the Lions to end out Interleague. And just so you all know, I think everybody is aware of this, the Pacific League uses the DH and the Central League doesn't. The Pacific League is typically the stronger of the two leagues. In fact, they have the aggregate record for Interleague has been tilted towards the PL for 10 years running. The best record in Interleague has almost always been a PL team. And the CL just has a ways to go. And I mean, if you even look beyond that to the Japan series, the last time a CL team won that was seven seasons ago when the Giants won that. So what do we do? What can we do as a team? So first, let's look at the Marines. Yesterday, honestly, we faced the best pitcher that we are slated to face of theirs. So they also have a couple guys that we're not facing that are quite good, but we don't need to talk about them. We faced Hideaki Wakui, who's kind of a long-time workhorse in NPB. I think he's still just like 32, 33 years old. He's not too old, but he's been around since his high school years. Mm-hmm. And we beat him, so that's good. And then we've got a couple of younger guys that we're facing, so I kind of feel like that is in our favor, where we're not going to be facing their studs, which is nice. And Zozo Marine Park also has brought in their fences.
I saw that. Yeah, that, it looks they've got like the lucky zone kind of thing going on.
Yeah. So they've gotten a ton of home runs this year from their guys, and they do have home run hitters. I mean, they do have Brandon Laird, and they do have Seiya Inoue, who's also kind of known as Aja. So those two guys are big time sluggers, among others that I suppose they could bring up. I don't know if Kenneth Vargas is with the team now. I think he might be on the farm, but they certainly have some big bats, and they have the park now to use the big bats. But the thing that we showed last night, and we've actually shown this in a lot of hitters' parks, our bats are not as weak as we tend to think that they are. In the right park, we hit home runs and we hit them in bunches. And so, I'm hoping that the three from last night are not the start and end of our fireworks display in Chiba.
Yeah, well, and we, I mean, the only home run last night we relied on that sort of lucky zone kind of thing for was Umeno's home run, which just kind of made it out of there. But the other two, Marte and and Ito, I mean, they were just
crushed. Yeah. So, and by the way, we used Ito as DH last night, which it kind of works twofold. His glove and his range suck, so it's good to get him out of the field. And then the other one is he knows the PL pitchers fairly well because he's just 2.5 years removed from facing them on a regular basis. So I don't mind that move of using him, but of course some other options that we have would include Haraguchi, right? And who else do you think might be able to fill that role? Like, is there anyone else that you'd like to see pulled out of the field and put into that role, or someone else you'd like to see called up, or what?
Not really. I mean, with Fukudome out now, he would have been the only other option I think I would have had. But like you said, I think Itoi is just in the field. He's just a liability. You know, a lot of hits, a lot of balls will drop for hits when somebody else probably could have caught them. So I'm fine with Itoi being the primary DH. Even, you know, I know Nakatani is not great at the plate, but he at least tries in the outfield. You know, he'll run hard for balls, you know, and he'll dive and try to make catches and stuff, which is a far cry from Itoi. So for primarily, yeah, I'd like to see Itoi in there. And if Haraguchi, I mean, it seems like the sort of pinch hitter kind of situation agrees with him. So I don't know if that'll sort of translate into good DH work. But yeah, I can totally see him in that role as well.
Right. Well, we've got eight more games for the DH, including obviously tonight and tomorrow against the Marines. And then the other DH games are all in domes. And so I don't know if that's a factor either, but certainly it'll be interesting to see what happens. So anyways, with the Marines, again, we're just two guys that mostly follow the Tigers. And, you know, anything else that we follow tends to be CL. So most of what we're going to say is going to be fairly superficial. But with the Marines, I don't really have much else to say. They do have a good young core, but I don't think any of them are truly ready to take over games. But they've been really getting some good draft picks, mostly high school guys. And so in the future, they are going to be a team that is potentially going to demolish us. But for now, I don't really see that being an issue.
No, I reckon we can sweep them. I'm not sure. At the very least, we're going to take two, but I think we can probably go for the sweep.
Well, there you go, jumping right into the predictions. So the Marines, I think that's about all we got to say. And then, as I said, we come home and we face the Nippon Ham Fighters, a team that we're okay against. We're not great, but we're okay against. And I don't see it as being a big problem. Again, we're not facing their big ace pitchers. And there was talk of Kosei Yoshida, who is their first-round pick and excelled at the high school tournament last summer, of him getting a start at Koshien for his pro debut. And they have pulled the plug on that, which I'm kind of thankful for, because I kind of feel like there's no way for that to look good for the Tigers. And if we beat up on him, then it's like, yeah, welcome to the pros, kid. But that's it. It doesn't look great on us. But then if he dominates us, it's like, man, he's, you know, he can continue his dominance at Koshien even against a professional team. So I'm glad that's not happening. But yeah, hopefully we can do some good stuff against them. Although they do have a decent overall lineup, and they're red hot right now. I think they've won. They're 7-0-1 in their last eight. But, you know, as far as their hitters go, of course, they've got Sho Nakata, who's excellent. They've got Kensuke Kondo, who is an outstanding hitter. They have Ota, who's also quite good. Haruki Nishikawa is also solid. So they do have their share of good hitters. And their pitching is not bad on the whole. They've got a couple of good guys in the bullpen, including they got actually Akiyoshi from the Swallows in an offseason trade, and he's been quite good for them. He's actually their closer right now. So I'm hoping that we don't have to face him. Like, in other words, that they're not in a situation where they use their closer. But I don't know, man. Our guys are strong in late innings, so even then we might be able to beat up Akiyoshi, someone who we're kind of familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But that basically is the long and short of it with the Ham Fighters. So there's forecast for rain this weekend, so I'm not sure we're going to get those games in right away, but there's also a built-in makeup day on Monday. So we might end up seeing Saturday, Sunday, Monday instead of Friday, Saturday, Sunday for that one.
Mm.
Yeah. So up next, we go on the road. As I said, we are going to be up against the SoftBank Hawks for the first three games of next week. And they've got Kodai Senga as their top pitcher. Guess who we don't have to face? Kodai Senga. I think he's scheduled to start on Friday, so he won't be playing, hopefully, on he hopefully won't be used on short rest on Thursday. So we avoid him. And then also they've got another great pitcher this year named Kotaro Otake. And they also have another named, what was his name? I forgot, a submarine pitcher. Anyways, they've got three excellent starters. And if I'm not mistaken, either we face just one of them or we face none of them. So that's the good news. The Hawks are also not doing particularly well of late. Yuki Yanagita is still out for them, and he's obviously the all-world center fielder for them. Mm-hmm. The downside, I feel, is that last year they were also not doing particularly well, and then they faced us and they swept us. And that was at Koshien. Mind you, we're a different beast this year, so hopefully it won't happen again this season. But we will be facing Rick Vandenhoek, and then I think we've got a couple of kind of younger guys that we're facing. Possibly on Wednesday we'll see. Actually, we might see Tsuyoshi Wada, who's kind of an old wily left-handed veteran. We'll see how that goes. I'm not too optimistic about this, but I would like to see us at least get one, but preferably, of course, two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, we go back to Kyocera Dome to face Oryx Buffaloes. And again, historically, we are just a 500 team against them in Interleague.
They're playing horribly right now, too. I mean, they're in the basement. If you think the Swallows look bad after their 16-game losing streak, just check out the Buffaloes record right now. I think they're like 380-something or something like that. So, I mean, you don't like to kick a team when they're down, but I mean, I reckon, you know, we can take at least two out of three of this one. So
I'd like to see a sweep for sure. Their best pitcher this year so far is Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and I believe we are avoiding him as well. Mm-hmm. And then they also have a rookie named Tsubasa Sakakibara, who we beat up on in the preseason at the game that we were at, if you remember.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're facing him, but they don't have a ton of great arms after that. Andrew Albers, who beat us last season, is not having a good year. So, yeah, I'd like to see a sweep there if possible. Their bats are kind of hit and miss. Like, they've still got Yoshida, who's excellent. He's kind of a Samurai Japan player. But outside of him, they don't really have a ton of guys that are playing up to their potential, at least at this point.
So,
that could be a fun one. You know, they're playing on my birthday, so they better at least win that one. And then after that, we've got six games at home, one of which is going to be, as I said, in Kurashiki in Okayama Prefecture. And we do this every season. And this year, they've saved it for Interleague, so we're doing it against the Eagles. Kurashiki is the hometown of former Tigers and former Eagles manager Senichi Hoshino, the late great manager of both teams. So I think that might be one of the reasons they're doing it. But the Eagles, man, they're hitting well. They're playing well. And I predicted them to do poorly this year, in part because they don't have Norimoto, their ace pitcher. He's been out all season. And then the good news is we're not facing Takayuki Kishi, who's also another great pitcher of theirs. So we might be getting the low end of their rotation as well. However, their bats, man, their bats are bad. I mean, in a good way, they're bad, right? Yeah, I mean, they've got like Jabari Blash has been absolutely like ridiculous. Killing the ball, 17 home runs, 44 RBIs. Wheeler's got 11. Asamura's got 14. So they've got three big sticks right there. And then they've got Ego Romogi to lead them off in the top of their order, who's also quite a good hitter, hitting over 300. So all we got to do is hope that we can beat up on their pitching. And their pitching is not great. And hopefully we can use our home field advantage, which I don't know how much of an advantage it is, but hopefully we can beat up on them in our home. And then we wrap things up against the last team, the Cebu Lions, and we will be in the Ponta deck for the first of those three games on June the 21st.
Yes.
The Lions have been very up and down, and again, they lost Hideto Asamura to the Eagles. They also lost Yusei Kikuchi to the major leagues, to the Mariners. Speaking of stinky teams, oh my goodness. just had to throw that in. But this team has still got plenty of firepower. I mean, they've got catcher Tomoya Mori. They've got Shogo Akiyama. They've got Hotaka Yamakawa. They've got Sosuke Genda. They've got Kuriyama. They've got, I'm probably missing a couple of other guys. They've also got Ernesto Mejia, who is coming in off the bench as a pinch hitter from time to time. I think the good news for us playing them is that they don't get a DH, which takes one of their powerful bats out of the lineup. It also puts one of their pitchers into the batting lineup, and their pitching is definitely their downfall. And, you know, we're at a pitcher's park, obviously, in Koshien, and I'm hoping that their pitcher's weaknesses will be exposed even that much more, even though it's a pitcher's park, that hopefully we can pick them apart and take two of three there.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you know, you're talking about how it looks like we're actually getting pretty lucky when it comes to the rotation, right? So hopefully our bats can take their starters apart a little bit. You know, the key really is going to be whether our starters can hold down the potent bats that the PL tends to have.
Yeah.
And if our pitchers can sort of do their jobs, you know, semi-well, then I think we have a good chance in pretty much all of these series. You know, I think... Yep. You know, the Hawks, the Eagles, and the Lions are probably, in terms of offense, the scariest ones.
Yep.
But I don't think any of these series are clear-cut, like, blowouts against us, right? I think that we have a good chance to definitely not get swept in any of them, and possibly take two out of three in a few of them. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not as worried about it this year as maybe I was last year. But, you know, I guess we'll have to come out on the other side before I can make any final judgments.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at the Lions starting pitchers, and I'm just going to throw some quick names and ERAs. I don't know if we're facing them or not, but Imai, 4.48. Takahashi, 4.47. Matsumoto, 6.89. Tawata, 5.77. Togame, 4.67. Enokita, 5.46. That's not good. I mean, the best one in there is 4.47, I believe.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's ugly. So there you have it. I think we're facing Enokita on Saturday, and unfortunately we're missing that game. But, you know, he'll be back in his original home park in Koshien. But I'm hoping we'll be able to do a number on him. But again, I think we're also facing Matsumoto potentially on Sunday. He's a rookie, I think. But a 6.89 ERA so far is not looking too good. So it could be a pretty good end to Interleague, as long as we can keep their bats at bay. And that's going to be the big challenge. So that having been said, JD, I want to know what your predictions are for a final record in Interleague for these Hanshin Tigers, keeping in mind that they have kind of bounced back between 10-8 and 7-11, more or less, these past four seasons. What do you think?
I'm going to err on the conservative side. I'm going to say we go 10-8.
keep it going, eh?
even though I know I just talked about how confident I was, I always like to walk things back a little bit, you know. I reckon that we have a good chance of sweeping the Marines and the Buffaloes, although I know it doesn't always work out that way, but I think the chances of that are up there. And if we do that, then we can, even if we just take one game out of each of the rest of the series, then, you know, we're there already. So I'm gonna be conservative on my prediction of 10-8, but I actually think we can do better than that. Like I said, I think that we're lucking out with some of the pitching that we're having to face. I think our bats are showing a lot of confidence lately, so I think they'll be able to put up some decent numbers against them. And it's really just gonna come down to our pitchers if they can sort of tame the bats that we know can do that much damage. But to be on the safe side, I'm gonna go 10-8. And honestly, if we do that, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, 10-8 sounds good, especially since we were 5 games over heading into Interleague. If we can come out on the other end 7 games over, that'd be nice. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know if you are aware of the NPB Reddit thread or channel. So they do an annual contest of picking the Interleague champions. And last year there was no winner, but in 2017, 16, and 15, I actually picked the winner each of those years. And so he kind of posted that. I was the winner of the contest 3 years running. And he said, hey, somebody's got to take down T. Ray Ray, which is my name on there. And so I went bold, man, with my prediction this year. And I said, man, if somebody's going to knock me off the throne, they're going to knock me off when I'm picking my own team. So I say we're going to finish first in the Interleague standings. And I said 12-5-1 for that. And so if that's the case, I do believe that we can sweep the Marines. Please, I hope that by the time this comes out that I'm not already wrong. And like you said, sweep the Buffalo. So that's 6. And then I think in the other 4 series, if we can take 6 and tie 1, then that is it right there. So as I said, everybody, we are going to be at the Ponte Deck on June the 21st. If you're going to be there as well, hit me up, hit JD up, because it'd be cool to meet up with you. But we're also going to be doing some recording of part of episode 100 live on set at Kosciuszko Stadium. And if you want to get in on that action, you can send us an audio clip ahead of time, just talking about your thoughts on the Tigers, or if you want to send us any kind of message, that is always open to you. And the email address that you can reach us at is in the show notes. So, thanks again for listening to us. As I said earlier in the show, the shameless plug, we're on Patreon if you want to sponsor us there. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram a little bit, we are on Facebook, we're everywhere that you want to be. So, get out there and get your H10, get your Hanshin Tigers, and keep cheering this team on until our other guy, who is coming back from tumors, Shintaro Yokota, also makes his way up to the top squad, and we can sing his cheer song, we can go nuts, and we can win the championship with our survivors, our winners.
I would give anything to see that, and if anybody ever has tickets to the game that he's coming back to, I will pay whatever you want for him to be there, yeah.
There you go, so hit up JD with your asking price. All right, everyone, have a great time, and we will catch you again when we hit the century mark in a fortnight.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Hanshin Tigers, it's your ball. Come on, you know that it's your ball.